God has been good to us and given us another opportunity to gather and worship. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. I've enjoyed the time of Sunday school and worship thus far. I need to confess, I wrestled with what to preach this morning. It seemed there were several subjects and messages I could have preached, but relax, I'm not going to give you all of that. And yet God laid one subject on my heart that is near and dear to me, and it's a burden as I see the time we're living in and what we're facing as we endeavor as parents to raise our families for the Lord. I titled the message, Guarding the Innocency of Our Children. Guarding the Innocency of Our Children. I invite you to Psalm 34 to begin with. I do not preach this message because I have it all together or have it figured out. Rather, I'm glad there is answers in the Word of God. Give us guidelines, and it is something that I am daily endeavoring to do for my family. But there's a point that we need to begin with in Psalm 34. I'm going to begin by reading verse 11. We have the word come. Come, ye children. Hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I want you to picture parents, father, mother, speaking to their children, inviting, come to me. Hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you. We think of the word fear. If we have the fear, if you have the fear of God, you've been taught that. It did not just come naturally. You've been taught that. And if we want our children to have the fear of the Lord, parents, we're going to have to teach them that. We must teach them. The fear of God is a fundamental truth that we must begin with. It lays the foundation for everything else to build upon. If we had time to go back through Psalm 34, we would see that fear translates into a trust, into a praise, into a full dependence upon God. Verse 9 and 10, we could read those. It says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children. We can teach our children to fear God. We've got an important lesson accomplished. There's a story I read some time ago, and I love the example. It happened years ago when train travel was very common. And this train was speeding down the tracks through a night storm. And it was a storm that had the passengers nervous, unsettled. There was thunder. There was lightning. It was heavy rain. And the passengers, if you were there, look in the car, the passengers were unsettled. They were nervous. And it off by himself was a little boy sitting there, and he was complete calm. He didn't seem to be bothered by the storm. And finally, a distressed passenger moved over and said, young boy, he says, aren't you afraid? He says, we're going through a storm. You're riding here alone. The boy said, no, why should I be afraid? He says, my daddy's the engineer. And I had to think, dear ones, can we teach our children that God, their daddy, is the engineer? No matter what we go through life, as they fear God, in a sense, they can be at a complete calm, teaching the fear of the Lord. Verse 12 goes on, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? The answer is most men. If we were to go out and walk the streets of towns and ask individuals, do you want a good life? They're going to say, yes, I want a good life. And yet, sadly, many are not getting that chance because they do not fear God. They're fearing something else. Let's read on. Verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil. We have some clues here of what to do. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all them, out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We don't have time to go through this verse by verse, but verse 21, 22, I think these two verses put into a nutshell the conflict that is raging. What we're dealing with, there is a fight to destroy the innocency found in our children. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. There's a battle going on, and yet the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. That anyone who trusts in him shall not come to desolation. There is protection there. Do we understand the battle, the conflict that is raging for the souls and lives of our dear children? I wonder what you would do if I were to stand up here. I guess I am standing up here, but what would be your response if I would tell you that there's someone that is so perverted, so vile, so obsessed with your children that he will do anything he can to get your child? What would you do if I tell you that he is there to rob them of their innocence, ruin their lives, rob them of their knowledge of God? What would you do if I tell you that he is on the loose in your neighborhood? There is no search warrant out for him. There is no postings of warning about him. No one is calling Crime Stoppers. He is living in your neighborhood. He's been found guilty time after time after time. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan is that person. Did I say person? Lurking in our neighborhoods, lurking in our towns, lurking around us, seeking whom he may devour. Parents, how much do we love our children? Satan does not care about age. Satan is out to attack the family unit. He knows what Scripture says. I'm going to turn to Mark 10 and read you several verses there. The words of Jesus. Disciples were thinking Jesus was too busy. Verse 13 of Mark 10. People were bringing their children to Jesus so they could touch him and bless him, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said this in verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Jesus was putting a blessing on the children. Satan knows that. We have the verse in Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Satan wants to steal that reward from us. That heritage of God. I'm not that old yet, but as I analyze history, as I follow through the Scriptures, and I look at where we're today, it seems that Satan is continually changing his tactics. Through the Old Testament, Satan was trying to distract the children of Israel time after time, to lure them back into idolatry, make them forget God. And as Jesus came to the earth, the battle intensified. As Jesus and Satan battled together, Satan trying to destroy Jesus. And when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, Satan thought he had won the battle. Jesus was laid in the tomb, but only to rise again. Satan realized he had lost that battle. And now, Satan is intent on keeping man from knowing God. And he is intent on keeping man from knowing Jesus as a personal Savior. And I think he's especially intent on keeping children from knowing. And if he can keep children from knowing the fear of the Lord, he wins. The reason I feel that way is look at the decline in our schools as prayer and Bible reading were taken out of our schools. Look at the decline there. Satan used a woman who was an atheist and some others who felt like her to rally against and say, we need the Bibles taken out. Their desires were granted. Look what happened within the public school system. Morals decayed, drug use spiked, schoolgirls becoming mothers, and the list could go on and on. Satan was seeking who he could devour. He's making inroads. More important than ever, we need to pour our time and energies into Christian day schools. Turn back to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 17. Maybe I'll start reading verse 16. Men of God were visiting with Abraham. Verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God, in a sense, asked this question, shall I keep this thing from Abraham? But then he says in verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children. What does God know of us? What does God know of you, fathers? What does God know of you, mothers? Is God saying that you will command your children, your household, for the fear of the God, fear of the Lord? We're looking at guarding the innocency. Guarding means watch over, give protection. Innocence means freedom from sin, of guilt or wrong. You know, children are born into our home. They become our descendants. They become our responsibility. They're given to us, we say, innocent. There's time in their life when they're innocent. They're not aware of their need of sin or their need of Jesus. They're not aware of their sin nature. It is our responsibility to keep them innocent and pure, to become aware of that. And I've heard some say, well, children are children. You know, they're only children so long, and let them find out the facts of life sooner than later. Yes, that is partly true. But there's a sense as we protect and keep our children innocent and pure, it helps them give them a better understanding of who God is, the holiness of God, and helps them better prepare to give their life to God and to be able to be ready to face the corrupt world. I think the problem is often with us as parents, because protecting our child's innocency calls ourselves to a higher standard. We ourselves are required. I'm not suggesting we bury heads in the sand and ignore the facts of life. No, we need to be in communication with our children. But our child will detect if we are living a double life. They will detect if we are one type of man in public and we're another type of man at home. Guess which one speaks the loudest. Is it possible, you say, to guard the innocency of our children? Turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I love the pictures I see in this verse. If you're anything like I, as a father, parent, there's times you just, what do I do, God? I need some answers. Look at this. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. How do you feel about the sun? Earlier this week, it was cold and windy. But how did you feel when you walked around a corner in a sheltered place and you felt the warmth of the sun? It was welcome. You wanted it. God is there as our sun, lighting our path. And then we have the shield, protection. How do we get this? God is going to give us grace, glory. And if we walk uprightly, God's not going to withhold that grace and glory from us. If we truly desire to be there and allow God to be that sun, lighting our way, showing us, and being our shield, God's going to give us the information. God's going to give us the wisdom. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I wonder if I wrote down it wrong. No, here it is. 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Just one verse. There's a phrase that I want. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Remember that. Grace did much more abound. You know, we're living in a sinful world. There's sin abounding everywhere, but the grace of God does much more abound. Don't forget that. I like to look at a few, I'd say, real life issues, things that we deal with. But I'd like you to think about this example. Someone observed a little wasp climbing up the screen of a window, and it was wildly flapping its wings. And so they took a closer look, and they noticed a little spider on the back of that wasp. And so they watched it, and they noticed that the wings started to die down. It became less moving. The flapping of the wings became slower. And they realized that that spider was injecting a little venom into that wasp. And slowly, slower and slower, the movements of that wasp became until the wasp was dead. And I think about that. Satan, and we just like that little spider with that venom. And if we aren't careful, it'll inject little things into our lives, into our daily habit of living, that will slowly take away the innocency of our children. How can we be on guard? What about the eyes? What do our children see? Are there things in our homes that are coming in, do we say, innocently? Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes or my children's eyes. I don't know what all comes in your mailbox, but I had to think about that. Starting at the end of the laneway. You know, it's hard to control what that mail, as that mailman stops by and throws a bundle of stuff in there. What's in there? But do we take time, and do our children have the understanding that, you know what, they just don't go paging through all the advertisements and flyers and everything else till mom or dad go through. It's sad to say there's been little things in that mail that have robbed some innocent mind. You know, the daily newspaper, I don't know how common it is anymore around here. Everything's online, and yet there's advertisements and there's papers that just are handed out. You're out shopping. You're in Walmart. You're in some other store. You're in a hurry. And you need to go in the checkout, and you see the shortest one, the emptiest one, is where all the magazines are displayed. What are we going to do? Do we take time to explain to our children? You know what? There's things there that are wrong. There's those pictures, those magazines. There's sin there. Will we also take time to maybe take the longer checkout? These are little things. What will we do? For the sake of time or for the sake of protecting our children? Books. Is there books being passed in and out of your home? A good author's pen can write down words so graphically that there can be pictures established in people's minds. Is there romance? Is there violence? Is there other scenes that describe that will pollute an innocent mind? How freely do we let books come and go within our homes, the interchange between friends and cousins without our knowing? Or do we simply ask, children, if you get a book, let me see it first. It could spare a lot of trouble. There's a lot of things being advertisements. If you buy online, do shopping online, a lot of stores send out emails. Parents, do we know what's coming and going in our emails, or do our children have access? I'm shocked sometimes when I hear of, seems children are the one that keep track of emails coming and going. Be careful. Checking the weather. There's some weather networks that, it's like a TV channel. I'm not going to get into electronics, but it's screen time, cell phones. I hear parents who allow their children to have screen time. Be careful. The next thing I think about as important is our ears. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 3 and 4 says, but fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. A phrase I want in there, nor foolish talking. You know, we like funny stories and jokes. Like having a good laugh. But is it clean, pure stories? It seems it's so easy to have little phrases, little slang words mixed in with our talk. And it's shocking how quickly children, a young child, will pick up some phrase. And all of a sudden, before we know it, that young child is using that word, and we wonder, where did he hear it? Where did he hear it? A pure mind repeats pure words. A pure father's mind, a pure mother's mind will teach purity to the son or daughter. What are the ears of our children hearing? We could spend a lot of time on music. Music that our children hear should point them to a deeper truth, a deeper appreciation for God. And even in music, carnality will struggle, seeks survival. And I think it's important that we look at our music diet frequently. There's a lot of shallow music available. It's under the gospel title. But they're compromised on biblical principles. I say it this way, just because a song mentions Bible or heaven or Jesus does not make it okay. That's my personal belief. There are songs that are being written. The Bible talks about Satan coming as an angel of light. And there are songs that are written like that. There is a song I came across several years ago where it talked about a young girl who had, when you listen to the song, it sounded like a young girl had died before she should have. And the songwriter was comparing that young girl to a fallen angel who fell. And some of the phrases from that song go like this. She didn't have a chance. Her wings were broken too soon. She was sent from heaven above. She needs someone to love her. And if he, the songwriter, could take a trip into space, she is the one he would see. Well, many people didn't realize as they were singing that in their Sunday schools and places, they didn't realize that songwriter was writing about Satan, the fallen angel who left heaven too soon. You say, that's far-fetched. But what about contemporary gospel music, country music? The feel-good, make-me-feel-good music. Sends me on emotional rush type of music. What is our ears hearing? Satan does not care how he destroys the innocent. John 10, verse 10 says, a thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he will use music, he will use fairy tales, he will use books. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11 says, let me start at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I put a plea out that we be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Devices means thoughts, purpose, mind. Do not be ignorant of how Satan is endeavoring to steal away our children. To steal away our children. I'd like to go back to Numbers 33. Numbers 33. His instructions being given. Lord is speaking to Moses. Numbers 33, verse 51. Verse 50 says how the Lord is speaking to Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And then go on to destroy the inhabitants of the land. We all know that where we are living, we cannot destroy the inhabitants of our land. But I put out the question, are we destroying all their pictures and their images? There are things that are presented before us. God told them, destroy the things that will rob them away from God. And verse 55, then is the result of their disobedience. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Dear ones, if we're going to let things, devices of Satan's dwell in our homes, get into our homes, it's going to eventually be pricks in our eyes and thorns in our side and it'll vex us because we weren't diligent. Lord, help us. Another area, we're thinking about things. I just title it this way, clothes, toys, and play. Think about that little example of the wasp and the spider. Remember how that wasp slowly died from the venom? Is it possible to take away the innocency of our children by how we dress them as babies, young children, what toys we allow them to play with, how they play, how their play is structured? I just throw some of these things out for you to think about. Because I think it's too easy to allow a double standard in our children when it comes to clothes. I'm not criticizing here. I haven't taken time to watch what goes on here. But I've just noticed it and a challenge from my own life. You know, young children, there's a certain, do I say, cuteness about them, innocency, and they can get dressed up, extras put on their clothes that are not allowed when they're older. And it doesn't take long for a young child to realize, this looks nice. Some comments when they're at the store. That dear person who means well just, oh, you have such a nice child. Look at that nice dress. Look at the nice shirt. That seed that is planted coming from grandma, grandpa. I don't care where it comes from. But all of a sudden, you got to stop. We do something else. What are you telling that child? You're telling that child that a double standard is okay. And if that is implanted in a young child, what are they going to do when they get to the age of accountability before God? They've been taught as a young child that a double standard is okay. Let's be careful. Toys. You walk the aisles of toy department at Walmart or wherever you like to go toy shopping. There's a lot of stuff that should go straight in the garbage. And yet what happens when somebody gives you something? Or you find it cheap? What do? Are we going to say, we're going to get rid of it? Sometimes the best thing is to just sit down with your child and say, you know what? We've been given this toy. But we're going to get rid of it. Talk it over with them. Help them understand, you know what? This isn't good for us. There's pictures on this toy, or this toy represents something. You don't have to go in deep. But help them understand, you know what? There's a danger here. And then get rid of it. We go visiting. Children get together and they play together. Do we as parents know what play is going on? Do we know what they're doing? Do we know where they're going? I know what it's like to be sitting in a circle of men and your children are all playing. It's easy to kind of zone them out. Do we know what they're doing? I think it's very wise, and I discover children like it when every so many minutes, dad's head or mom's head just pokes around the corner or comes walking over to them and asks how it's going, what they're doing. Even better yet, forget your conversation as men and go join them. Join in them. I'm going to read from Proverbs 29. Two verses. Verse 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Think about that. If we leave our children to themselves, it'll bring shame. Verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, teach thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee, shall give delight unto thy soul." There's two opposites here. One that is left to himself, one that is corrected. And it's a huge difference at the outcome. You know, children enjoy spending time playing and working with us as parents. They also like, as depends on the age of the child, they like pretending what their parent is, what mom is doing, what dad is doing. Let's be worthy of that. There are two words I like for us to remember. As we go about guarding the innocency of our child, our children, it's not going to happen by itself. And those two words are teach and to train. And you think, oh, they're the same. But I see a difference. I see the word teach is to instruct, to verbally give instruction, give wisdom. Here's values that I want you to learn. And to train means it's action. It's putting that teaching into work, making it happen. Parent working, training alongside child. There's some overlap, but I've made acrostics out of these words. A child needs to see mom and dad involved in their teaching program. The word teach. The letter T, talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Your child needs to know at a young age that Jesus is an important person in your life, in your family. Letter E, example. If you're going to talk to them about Jesus, be that example. For an example of that is if you're facing something, call the family together in prayer. That's an example. You're teaching them, you're giving them instruction. The letter A is apply the word of God. C, control their environment. Means we don't go, we don't do everything that everybody else does. Control their environment. Tell them why we don't go and do everything thing that the general world does. Hold them up in prayer for letter H. Hold them up in prayer. The word train, letter T again, is to talk to them about Jesus. Letter R is run beside them, mentor them. Sadly, there are too many parents letting somebody else mentor them. Letter A is again, apply the word of God. Letter I, ignore peer pressure. That's a tough one. Help your child learn to ignore peer pressure so that your children can be happy with what they don't have that everyone else has. And the letter N, never back down from a high holy standard. You may feel pressure yourself as parents, but never back down. Our teaching and our training should be that our children understand the fear of the Lord, not just to avoid embarrassment when we go to church in public places. If we are simply teaching and training our children just to, how to act proper when we go in public, we're missing something. It's got to be more than that. We need to help them understand to have strong morals and maintain a high standard of holiness. We need that in our homes. We need to teach our children how to swim upstream as general society is floating downstream. In today's world, respect for and submission to authority is lost. Values for moral purity are lost. Value of clean speech is lost. We need to teach those values to our children. We need to teach our children how to identify and run from these dangers. It doesn't take long for our children to understand some of those things. We need to prepare them to be strong and stand alone. As parents train and teach your children, there's three perspectives about your child that I've come to realize that I and keep in mind as you teach and train, as you go through life, as your children, as you interact with your child, watch these three things. How does your child, do I say, relate to himself? How does he talk about himself? Is it negative? Is it positive? Is he critical? Does he always put himself down? It gives you an insight. How's your child relate to others? And thirdly, how does your child relate to God? How does he talk about God? You know, as you watch that, as you listen to that, it gives you an insight what's in his heart. Proverbs 22, verse 6, very familiar verse, says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. There's times as our children get to the age of accountability, they get on their own, they don't always make the choices we want them. But dear ones, if you teach them, if you train them, you instill those values, it's going to be there. It's going to be there. And that verse puts a lot of responsibility on us, I realize. But remember, God gives grace. And I would just say, if you as children, youth who are old enough, you understand, listen to the counsel of your parents. You may not understand now why your parents tell you what they are, but one day you will. One day you will. One day you will. I close with the verse again, Proverbs 34:11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is my prayer, desire for each one. As you raise your children, teach them the fear of God. And may God give you much wisdom.